Okay, V'siyata D'shmaya, Hilchas Bishul Akum number 5. So V'siyata D'shmaya, we've gone through a lot of the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim, and what we're going to do today is crystallize many of the halachos in controversial cases. In other words, we're not going to go through obvious cases where there is Bishul Akum. Let's say a piece of meat, there's definitely Bishul Akum. And so on. We're not going to go through all the obvious cases. What we're going to do is discuss more complicated cases, which will actually help us to crystallize the lumdus and many of the halachos that we, the details that we didn't get involved with. First of all, I found that in regards to coffee, coming back to Binyamin's question, there is a Reb Shlomo Eger that is mefurish that coffee is mutter. And that Reb Shlomo Eger is right in the beginning of Kuf Yud Gimel. If you take a look right in the beginning of Kuf Yud Gimel, so there Reb Shlomo Eger says as follows. He says, Dinei bishule akum, shtiyas kafe bekafheiser, she'af mina kadoshim mutter, de'ein lachosh l'taruvas isr lo shchichi. You don't have to be worried about them mixing in things that are isr, but if there's milk, then you'll have to be concerned. So I mentioned to you last time that there were many who said that coffee is going to be dependent on the two reasons in Simen Kuf Yud Dalet. The Tosa says that there isn't Bishul Akum by beer after Shir. Zach asked me to clarify, so let me repeat what I had clarified for Zach. There are two discussions in regards to beer. One is, leaving aside Bishul Akum, are you allowed to drink beer with a goy? That's one question. That's what Simen Kuf Yud Dalet is discussing. And the other, and the poskim ask, leaving aside that gzeira, even by itself, just why isn't the making of beer a problem of Bishul Akum? And the answer to that question we saw were two possibilities. Number one is that the wheat is bottled to the mayim, so that's why it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. Or we would say that that beer is not olal shulchan melachim. That beer just simply is not something that kings drink. Now that came out really interesting. That coffee is something that's eaten and drunk at state dinners. But when it comes to beer, once upon a time, beer was looked at as like the cheapest type of drink. Like it was two ends of the spectrum. There was wine, which was beautiful. And beer. Now, beer today, there are some people, the last couple of presidents, from what I understand, do drink beer. But once upon a time, it was looked at as something very, very low. And therefore, it could be that beer is going to be different than coffee. So we left off with an open suffix, and we said that there are different shitas. So first of all, Reb Shlomo Eger was makel in regards to coffee. Reb Shlomo Eger was mefurish makel. Now, if you take a look at the Mara Makomos, what I did mention over there is that there is a fascinating Chsam Sofer. The Chsam Sofer in Avodah Zarah on Daf Lamed Aleph on the Beis, in regards to beer, actually contrasts the discussion of beer to coffee in an interesting way. The Chsam Sofer writes that when it comes to beer, there the beer is absorbed into the water. So he says there are some poskim who say that by beer there might be bishul akum, if not for the fact that it was olal shulch, it's not olal shulchan lachem. But in theory, it should be subject to olal shulchan lachem. But he says when it comes to coffee, the difference between the coffee and the beer is as follows: the hops become part of the intoxicating drink. The hops become part of the drink. Since the hops become part of the drink, so then your mamish cooking an item in contrast to water. It's not water. However, when it comes to coffee, so there, he says, the ground beans don't go into the drink itself. The ground beans don't go into the drink. It's just that you have the water passes through the ground beans, and there's nothing of the actual item of the coffee itself, except just its tam that's given off. So the Chsam Sofer says that he thinks that coffee, you could be more makel when it comes to coffee because you don't even take the tamtzius of it itself. So the Shevet Alevi raises something fascinating. So the question is whether whether you're an individual who's sophisticated. There are two different types of coffee drinkers. My wife and I are very simple coffee drinkers. My in-laws are sophisticated coffee drinkers. So the way, you know, I guess because we start off as a kolel couple, so we forced ourselves to learn how to drink instant coffee. But many people don't like instant coffee. And Rav Vosner says, actually, for those of us who drink instant coffee, it might actually be more of a reason to be machmir as opposed to be mekel in regards to bishul akum. Dahainu, that, let's spell it out, that when it comes to the instant coffee is put into the coffee itself. So if that instant coffee was cooked by a guy, it could very well be that has a problem of bishul akum, because you put something in, or for that matter, if the guy puts the granula inside, he puts the instant coffee inside, and then he cooks it inside, so then in such a case, you did bishul. It could be that if he originally made the instant coffee, that's not going to be a problem, because you need another step for the Jew to make the next step of coffee. So for Ashkenazim, it's not going to be a problem. But what if the goy adds it to the coffee itself? So then in such a case, then there is an interesting question of whether that would be subject to bishul akum, in contrast to the Chassam Sofer's case. So therefore, the Shevet Alevi argues there might be room to be more machmir in the case of the instant coffee. Just a second, Zach, let me just read you his lashon. One second. Yesh mi sheomer she'af sheyesh harbe mekilim lishtos kafe she'echin goy mikol makom lo bal nefesh lahachmer al atzma v'lo lishtos kafe nemas she'echin goy. Kim dumani that the minhag olam is not this way. Kim dumani that the minhag olam is to be mekel. Why? Because we don't assume the svara of the Chassam Sofer, we assume the svara of the Balei Tosos, and that is that the ikar is the water, it's not the granula, and therefore to be mekel. But what a brilliant ha'ara by the Shevet Alevi if you go with the Chassam Sofer svara. So just to crunch, bottom line, when it comes to coffee, we have at least three svaras to be mekel. Number one, the coffee is going to be batel to the water. Number two is, does it qualify as Nechal Shulchan Malachim? That, number two, many debate. Many say, yes, it is Nechal Shulchan Malachim. The fact that beer is not Nechal Shulchan Malachim once upon a time is different than coffee. Beer was once a depreciated drink. And then the third svara was the Chassam Sofer svara, is that there isn't any real mamashos inside of the water. In contrast, and that would contrast brew to instant. So when it comes to an instant, there might be more room to be machmir. But at the end of the day, you have other svaras to be mekel, so maybe there is some value of a machmir tavol of bracha, but kim dumani that the minigolim is to be mekel. Yes, Zach?
I was just thinking, even within the chumra to be machmir by instant coffee, but instant coffee usually is not oil al-shulcham
ah.
If anything, right. The opposite.
Right. So the instant is not olal shulchan malachim. So what happens if you have something that min is olal shulchan malachim, but there are two ways of making it, and the way you made it is not olal shulchan malachim. So let's keep that question aside right now. Keep it in mind, and we'll see as we go on. There might be Mari Makomos in regards to that question. Okay.
Well, when it came up in Seder with Binyamin and I, we kind of said that it reminded us of Mim Amino, Mim Mishen Amino. Do you go Basar Shmo or Basar Taima? Is it that all coffee, all steak is oil shulchan malachim? So even if you burn a piece of steak and it's like a belt, so it's still oil shulchan malachim? Or does it depend if you look at the actual thing that's in front of you?
Yes, sir.
This type of food be oil shulchan malachim?
I hear. Interesting sushta. Yafeh. Okay, good. All right. Now, what we're going to do is spend a lot of time talking about potatoes and talking about cranberries and jam. Now, we're not really only interested in potatoes and cranberry and jam. What we're going to be interested in is exactly the Hagdaros. We're now finally going to be Magdir exactly how does Olal Shulchan Malachim work, how do we define Olal Shulchan Malachim, and how do we define Nechal Kamo Shehu Chai. So that's going to be a very, very important piece of analysis. So let's start with Agdar of Olal Shulchan Malachim. There's a Tosas, if you have your Gemara with you, we made reference to this Tosas already before today, and we made reference to it last time, but if you'd like to see it, it's on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, the Tosas about beer. So again, Tosas says that there are two reasons why beer is not a problem with Bishul Akum. That Tosas appears six lines from the bottom on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Ve'ein lesser shel tefuah mishum bishul akum kmo silka v'daisa. There's no problem of beer in the fact that it's Bishul Akum on the hops, on the wheat, like there is when it comes to other grains. You can't chew it when it's raw, etc. He says, number one, it's not Olal Shulchan Menachem. Number two, says Tosos, is that the tfua is batel legabe amayim. Ve'od yesh tam acher lahatir ha-sheichar, de'ebo bishum ba-shalakam, de'hecha the tfua betel legabe amayim, l'inyin berch le-shehakob, so too, achanami betel le-inyin iser bishul. So, it's g'day to see the Tosas inside, and that is a Tosas that the Shach was making reference to earlier. So, there's a beautiful, beautiful piece that Rav Ganak Shlita has in that Masorah journal, number one, in terms of Bishul Akum, and it's a very important piece, because a lot of if you want to understand, a lot of the heterim of the OU, many of them in regards to Bishul Akum, or for that matter, more precisely, the standards of the OU when it comes to Bishul Akum, Rabbi Ganak and Rabbi Schachter, both in that Masorah journal, have a lot of material. In fact, I was just in touch with the fellow who's the sefer I've been quoting, Otzer Bishul Akum. I just emailed him today. He emailed me right back, a fantastic sefer. Turns out that he's a Talmud of Rav Nevenzal. Isn't that amazing? He learns in Rav Chizkio Nevenzal's Kolel. He told me he's already up to the second printing of the book. And so, you know, he has many questions of the OU standards, but if you want to get a sense of the OU standards, it begins with those articles from Rabbi Ganak. Kedarko Bekodesh, I love Rav Ganak's style of building a sugya. He always starts with the basics of the sugya, and then he paskins the shaila. So Rabbi Ganak takes a step back in this Tosas, and he says, now does Tosas mean that there wasn't a single king, or in general, kings didn't drink beer at all? Remember, Rabosai, there were only three forms of drink once upon a time. There was either wine, water, or beer. So are you saying that that they only drank wine or water? That's a little difficult. Elamai, what's Tosas saying in this opinion? Tosas is saying that kings would never serve beer at a stately meal, at a royal meal. That's what Olal Shulchan Malachim means, that they wouldn't serve it at a stately meal. If that's so, if that's the definition of Olal al Shulchan Malachim, so then what we got is something really interesting. What happens if you have foods that kings would eat, that presidents would eat, but they wouldn't eat at a state dinner? So Rav Ganak suggests that is going to be involved with the two terutzim of Tosas. The first terutz of Tosas that said it's not Olal Shulchan Malachim, so assumes that the Hagdara of Olal Shulchan Malachim is something that is normal for them to eat at a state dinner. The second day of Tosas says, no. We know that kings drink beer as well. They just don't do it at a state dinner. But if a king would eat it, so then in such a case, it's not the definition of Bishul Akum. There's a Me'iri that discusses that the formulation of Olal Shulchan Malachim is the idea that when it comes to the food is something that the king wouldn't touch. It's not ro'oi for him. So if that's your definition, so the second day of Tosa says it is, It is Olal Shulchan Lachem. They just don't eat it at a state dinner. So what's at stake over here, Rabosai, is something very, very big. What's at stake is the definition of Olal Shulchan Lachem, something that a king won't eat at all, or is it he won't eat at a state dinner? So this is a big, big nafkamina. So we didn't, when we started the Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim, they didn't really touch on it, and that's why we're only getting back to it now. But we really need to sharpen what Olal Shulchan Malachim is all about. Okay. So there are a few shitas. We're not going to go through an exhaustive discussion, but we've alluded to the fact that the Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Tes Vav, says the following. Bamed varim amurim, when do you have Bishul Akum, Yud Zayin Tes Vav, B'davar shu ola al shulchan lachem lechol es hapas. The Rambam says that which qualifies as ola al shulchan lachem is something that the king eats with his bread. Kegon basar ubeitzim v'dagim keyotzeben. Avol davar she'ena ola al shulchan lachem lechol bas hapas. But things that are not ola with his pas, so then it wouldn't qualify as ola al shulchan lachem. We touched on that when we read the words of the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, that the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'gam olal shulchan lachem l'lafos be'es hapas," and the Gro already points out l'lafos es hapas in Sifkat and Gimel. He says it's based on the Rambam Shein Bon l'parperes. Now this leads the Tshuvas Maritatz. I put it on the Marimakom, almost the exact Marimakom. The Tshuvas Maritatz to go so far as to say that the only time it's going to be Bishul Akum is if it's something that comes with a meal that you eat with bread. So for example, if there is a fancy dessert, but it's not eaten as part of the meal, according to Maritatz, Lefi the Rambam, it's not part of Bishul Akum. It has to be Olal Shulchan Malachim B'tol Chapas. Most don't paskin like this Maritatz. Most don't paskin this way. But, how would the Rambam fall in the Chakira that Rabbi Ganak suggested within Tosos? Is it something that the king never eats? Like there has to be a Pchisas that the king, it's beneath his dignity, so then it's not subject to Bishul Akum because you won't have the problem of chasnus, because chasnus is only something that's really congenial, that's something that's su'uda-like, and something that's so casual doesn't have the problem of chasnus. So the Rambam seems to be on one side of that chakira. The Rambam seems to be saying that it has to be something that is going to be chashuv for the state dinner. That's what the Rambam would say. Now, again, dessert, Yesh Ladin, you could read the Rambam saying that even dessert, it doesn't apply. But that people don't say. People say that in general, if it would be something that would be part of a state dinner, so then in such a case, it would be part of it. Rav Ganak Shlita has an interesting take. This is worth dancing over. He suggests that this Chakira is part of the two different Svaros of what is the Yisra Bishul Akum. Leaving aside that there are some Rishonim that seem to contradict themselves about whether Bishul Akum is Mishum Chasnus or Shemi Yachilenu Davar Asur, but he says, B'Pashtus, that if it's a Chash of Chasnus, then it makes sense that when it comes to the concern of Chasnus, we could differentiate between something that's really nice, that's Mechubad, that would be something that creates chasnus. But Shemi Yachilenu Davar Asur, there is a lot of food that's not high quality, that's not kosher. Shemi Yachilenu Davar Asur should not make a difference whether the king eats it in a state meal or whether he doesn't eat in a state meal. If he doesn't eat it in a state meal, so then in such a case, that's not even chashuv enough for Chazal to have made the gzera of Shemi Yachilenu Davar Asur. But why would it make a difference if the chashash is Shemi Yachilenu Davar Asur, whether the average Gentile will eat it or only the king at his meal would eat it? Why would he differentiate between the two? So Rabbi Ganak suggests that it might be talui in those two svaros. Yes, Reb Zak.
I'm just not really understanding what Reb Ganak's point is saying within Tosos, meaning he's questioning the Shulchan Malachim aspect, but the way we've been explaining it, it sounds like that Shulchan Malachim is only the state dinner. right? And obviously, if the king is serving something to his guests, he's not going to drink something else. He's going to drink what he's serving.
Right, so, but who says it has to be part of the steak dinner? That's goof of the Shaila.
Right.
In other words, Tosis is assuming, he's assuming that beer, I mean, Tosis basically said it, that the kings don't drink beer. So Rabbi Gedak says, really? They didn't drink any beer at all? The Pashas, they did, but they just wouldn't drink it in public. Another example would be popcorn, right? There's no reason to believe that kings wouldn't eat popcorn at all. It's just you wouldn't see them in public munching on popcorn. Maybe if they went to a baseball game and it was good for ratings, then maybe they would do it. But otherwise, they wouldn't. Yeah.
The question is it called Shulchan Malachim when he's sitting by himself eating breakfast?
Exactly. That's very good. Very good.
Or is it Shulchan Malachim when he's the Melech?
You reminded me of Amar Malkum. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Good. Very good. Very good. But you reminded me of Amar Malkum. There was a big machlokas we made 100 years ago in Europe. We made reference to this about sardines. About whether sardines is subject to Bishul Akum. So it was quoted to the Chazon Ish that there were Rabbanim who said that it's mutter because the King of England doesn't eat sardines. To which it was quoted in the name of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish said back, but the King of England eats sardines in the morning. So that's exactly the point. In the morning when no one else is there, so then it's such a case. That's and like your Hagdara, there's a beautiful Chassidish references to that as well. The idea of Ein Melech Belo Am and so on, when is his Malchus going to be fine? Which, by the way, makes a lot of sense that, of course, Malchus Basar Adam is nothing internal. It's all dependent on his there being an Am. So the question then is, where do you draw the line? Now, a tremendous Maramakom that extends this Kula is in Rav Henkin's writings, but as my new friend, the Otzer Hilchos Bishul Akum, points out that the world doesn't seem to follow this letter of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin goes so far as to say as follows. He says, you don't go after the chashivus for Bishul Akum. Because he says, if that would be so, everybody eats all foods, whether they're wealthy or not. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's foods taste good. Some are fancier, some are not. But the question of Melachim is what they do in their ceremonial, in their context of their power. He says the difference, let's take potatoes. That's a big, big question. Potatoes. Do they eat straight potatoes at a state dinner? Probably not. You might get it at a wedding. You could get that as an option, potatoes. But at the end of the day, most, in a state dinner, you're not going to get straight potatoes. Now, does that mean that there isn't going to be any potatoes in the ingredients? Absolutely not. They're going to put potatoes in. Potatoes are a very, very important ingredient, even in something that's very fancy. But the potatoes are only going to be used as a tavlin. So says Rav Henkin, he says that the question is whether it's going to be eaten as a primary ingredient for a state dinner. But if it's eaten as a tavlin, in such a case, it's not going to follow. And therefore, he says, when it comes to potatoes, therefore, he thinks one could be makel. If you went with Rav Henkin, then a lot of Bishul Akum would be cut down. It would only be those staples that are normal for to eat by a state dinner, fish, you know, fancy fish and so on, but anything else would not be, and meat and so on, would not be subject. But Kimdumani, we don't follow the simple reading of the Rambam. We don't follow Rav Henkin's Pshat, and the Minhag HaOlam seems to be more Machmir. As you see in the Maariv Makomos, both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chochmas Adam seem to have a different Hagdar. Let me read for you from the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's start with that. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Katan Yud Ches in our Simen says its following: Tapuche Adama Nira Leniyaz Daiti The Zamikri ain olin al shulchan malachim. Vim bishal acham osam rak b'mayim b'vado off osam mutl yisrael lachan. Diyadua shi achila pshuta. V'rak dalas ha'am ochlem osa. He says, in general, it's only eaten by poor people. So the Aruch HaShulchan makes an assumption. He doesn't go with the Tavlinim Hagdara. He just says that potatoes is a poor man's food. And since potatoes is a poor man's food, so therefore it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. In fact, in Israel, one of the early nursery rhymes that kids learn is that my kids used to sing when they were little, and it was called Yom Rishon Tapuche Adama, Yom Sheni Tapuche Adama, Yom Shlishi. In other words, it's the song of poor people that's what they're eating. What they're eating is potatoes. So that shita is the shita of the Aruch HaShulchan, and therefore the Aruch HaShulchan paskins that one could be mekel. However, the Chochmas Adam in Simen Samach Vav, Sif Katan Dalid, he says, venerally, the Piri Shekorin Erd apple, that's what it used to be called. It used to be called the apple of the earth, potatoes. Obulubus Olal Shulchan Malachim. It is Olal Shulchan Malachim. And he concludes, Klalo Shaldavra Kol Holech Achar Mokom, Mashaderech Lechol Bosamokom, Luro B'nei Adam Kishu Chai. What the derech is for people to eat, that's going to be Nechal Chai. We're going to get back to that shortly. So what we have is three different shitos. B'siyata D'shmaya, we have three different shitos in regards to Olal Shulchan Malachim. And we have, more. We have three Lamaisa, but we have the Maritats who says it has to be eaten with bread. That's number one. Number two, we have the Lamaisa Shitas, the later poskim, we have Rav Henkin who says that anything that's eaten only as a main ingredient. We have the Aruch HaShulchan who made a hashara that potatoes is a poor man's food. And then we have the Chochmas Adam who said that it's not. Kim Dumani, that many people are choshesh for the Chochmas Adam. Many of our rabbeim felt that the Chochmas Adam was the posek achron. But you should be aware that of the above shitas we mentioned, it's a 1 out of 4. And therefore, if you have other tzad, tzirufim lahakel, there would be room. There would be room to be makel. Now,
Rebbe,
yes, please, y'all.
I have to question. How do we view pasta, like macaroni?
Oh, very good. Very good. Pasta is a great question. So there are really two parts to the pasta question. One question.
Also technically, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you want to add? I'm listening.
Could it be eaten raw, technically? Is that a thing? Or
very good. So I don't think it could be eaten raw. In other words, I don't think it could be eaten raw. But I think that it falls into both questions of two fundamental questions. Number one, would we consider pasta something that's olal shulchan malachim? So I would imagine there is a very, very fancy type of pasta that can be made into pasta. For example, let's say a fancy salmon dish sitting on top of some pasta. I could see that, you know, having something like that. So that would be, but there's another tzad, Rabbi Yol, to be makel on pasta, which we're going to see that the OU does, we're going to get to that shortly, and that is that it's cooked beforehand by the goy, but you take it home and you cook it more. So what's that? What's that in terms of Bishul Akum? The goy started it, but you do it more. So that in Mirtzei Hashem, we're going to get to. So that would be...
How about pasta?
That would get into the same question of when it comes to Cheerios and so on. Do you say that it's a tavshil or it's pas? So I think we assume that even though Cheerios is a little bit of a debate, when it comes to pasta, I think everybody assumes that doesn't have a din pas. And therefore it would be subject to dine bishul akum and not to a dinim of pas akum. As far as I know. Okay. Now, what exactly, if you remember, we said that we don't necessarily go after the king of England. We pointed out that if there is no king, so then you measure it in terms of general chashivas. So what is what is that hagdara of general chashivus? So the Sefer Otzer Bishul Akum suggests that general chashivus is going to be what people would eat for tanug. And he has an interesting maramakam. I'm reading from page Kufchav Beis, that he points out that the Bach quotes a riff in Shabbos when discussing dogim ktanim. We had a big discussion about dogim ktanim, if they're salted, what if they're first salted and then they're cooked, da-da-da-da-da. We had a big discussion. Whether dogim ktanim are considered olal shulcha malachim, so the Bach by us in Kufyu Gimel quotes a riff in Shabbos that says, Bamo ma'agna, how do people have, ba'anga, how do people have tainug on Shabbos? Bidogim ktanim. So the Bach says that he thinks that small fish, if in your locale people eat it on Shabbos, the big nafkamina would be herring, so then that would be enough to be considered olal shulcha malachim. So you have a chumrah, the Otzer Bishul Akum has, that it could be that we're not going to define it by only what does the aristocracy use, but if people would eat it as a separate dish on Shabbos. Again, if they would use it as an ingredient, that wouldn't be enough. But if they would eat it as a separate dish, that would be enough to qualify as such. There is a discussion whether the Bach is right or Bach is wrong, but you clearly see that from the Bach. Now, that would be a great example in terms of narrowing down something like popcorn. So people would not eat popcorn for a tainug on Shabbos day. Now, it is true we would retreat it for Shabbos party, and for most of the kids, they're waiting for a Shabbos party, and they're not interested in eating a meal, but we're not talking about children. So therefore, those things that would be at a Shabbos meal, the Otzer Bishul Akum suggests that would be our Hagdara today. Now, Rav Belsky Shlita felt very strongly that what kings eat Rav Belsky Zatzal. Rav Belsky Zatzal felt very strongly that what kings ate privately is not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. And he had a brilliant raya. The Medrash Tanchuma describes Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty vicious person. And he had a strange appetite. So Nebuchadnezzar used to like to eat animals, Eiver Minachai. But he knew that it was disgusting. So the Medrash Tanchuma describes that he made Sidkio promise that he wouldn't tell anybody that privately he ate animals raw. So says Rav Belsky, we see that there are kings that eat one way in public and they eat another way in private. Now, why was Nebuchadnezzar embarrassed by that? Because that's not olal shulcha malachim. That's not a proper way of eating. So we see that when talking about the achilas hamelach, not everything that the king eats is automatically ola al shulcha malachim. And to me, that shita makes a lot of sense. And in fact, the Otzer Bishul Akum quotes that in the name of Rav Yashiv, from one of the, I think he's one of the famous hashkachos here, Rav Rubin, he quotes from Rav Rubin that Rav Yashiv said that anything that the king or his children would eat, even if it's not b'shas asuda, that qualifies as ochel al shulchan malachim. And that comes out in massive chumrah. So first of all, we don't have this, as far as I know, that written by Rav Yashiv. It was something that was quoted in his name. But Rav Belsky Shita makes a lot of sense to me, in the little that I understand. And it would seem to me that this Hagdara fits in very well to what we've seen before. It has to be something that the Rambam described that you're Mazmin. We're not going to be so makel like the Maritats, we're not going to be so makel like Rav Henkin, but to go so far to the other extreme, to say anything that a king would eat at all, so then in such a case, then you've really knocked down any heter of Eina Olal Shulcha Malachim. Because, especially, you're going to say the children of the king, so the Ein L'davar Sof, then everything is Olal Shulcha Malachim, and you've entirely cut down the entire Hagdar. So it seemed to me that there is a lot of room over here to be made. Okay, now let's go to something else fundamental, and that is, let's talk about jam. Let's talk about cranberries. Ocean spray cranberries. That's a staple in some people's diet, right? Ocean spray cranberries. It's one of those sweet, my wife's a nutritionist, so it's one of those, and I have a sweet tooth. So it's one of those sweet foods that's not pure candy. Okay. Now it happens to be Ocean Spray cranberries. There are some who are upset at the OU that they are matir it for, and don't consider it a problem of bishalachim. How exactly are the cranberries made? So if you give me a second, again, I'm thankful to Rabbi Kolbersh in the Otzer Bishuli Akum, who describes how it works. And he says the following. Shorim es hapri b'mei sukar. They soak the fruit in sugar water. In other words, they soak the cranberry in sugar water. Ula'achar b'kach miyabshim also. And afterwards, they dry it out. B'tanur shayatzel edesman. So the problem is that when they dry it out, they're cooking it. And that should be a problem of bishalakum. So here, we go from the sugya of Ola Shulcha Malachim to the sugya of Nechal Chai. How many people eat cranberries that have been soaked in sugar and in water? Now, if you went to the factory and you tasted it, the answer would be that it actually tastes very good. It's really nice and sweet. And in fact, if they would be able to manufacture it in a way that was smooth, it could be that that would be a good product. The whole kunst of the cranberries of Ocean Spray is that it lasts for an extended period of time. By drying it out, it lasts for an extended period of time. So on the one hand, it's for sure Nechal Chai, and it tastes good Nechal Chai, but the problem is that most people don't eat it because of a practical reason. It's just not, it's not the convenient way to produce it and to send it out. So over here, this Lechura would get involved with a very fundamental machlokis between Rashi and the Ritva. You tell me, what is the Hagdara of Nechal Chai according to Rashi on Lamed Ches Amud Beis? Rashi on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Dibre Amaschel HaKafrisin. Rashi says, the Kafrisin we know from Brachos are the shell, the first shell around the food. Rashi says, Shomer Leprihein, it guards the fruit, Mimin Slav. V'derech La'achlon Chayim. And the derech is, it's normal to eat it raw. It's normal to eat it raw. Now these cranberries, generally people don't eat them raw. Okay, that's the assumption. If the derech would be for them to eat it raw, then there would be no shaila. But he's assuming, the Otzer Bishlakum is assuming that people don't eat it raw. However, if they did eat it raw, there would be no shaila. But here, it's not the derech to eat it. By the way, the other reason they don't eat it raw is because it's sour. That's a, in other words, the whole kunz is that they're adding the sugar. Now here, if you and I would be able to stick our hand and be able to take out these cranberries when they were soaking with sugar, we would probably even enjoy it more, if you have a sweet tooth, than when it's dried off. But we just don't have the access to it. So what would you say? The mashmos from Rashi is, that has to be the derech. It's not the derech. And therefore, according to Rashi, the churit should be aser. The Ocean Spray cranberries should have a problem of bishalakum. However, and this maybe someone could give a chabura about sometime, if you take a look at the Ritva in Avodah Zarah, the Ritva on Daf Lamed Ches, right when the Gemara introduces Olal Sholcha Malachim, the Ritva says, Perush Shiro'ui La'achloi K'moshu Chai. It's ra'ui to eat when it's raw. Even though it's not normal to eat it except cooking, if it's cooked. So he says, black on white, the Ritva is beferish against this Rashi. The Ritva beferish says that if you have something that you could eat it raw, even if you don't, in other words, because it's difficult to get to it in the factory, then in such a case it would not be subject to bishalakum. So l'chura, there's a very fundamental machlokis between the Ritva and Rashi. And by the way, there are achronim who've collected Rishonim in one direction and Rishonim in other directions. The Rambam that we read seemed to say that, like Rashi, that was dependent in regards to derech. So how does the Aruch HaShulchan Paskin and how does the Chachmas Adam Paskin. So if you take a look in Kuf Yud Gimel Yud Beis, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, Davar Pashutu, Dile'inyin Davar Shein Echol Kamo Shulchai, Hochin Acharoiv Bnei Adam, Dimaroiv Ein Ochle Machmal Zeh Kamo Shulchai, Afsha Yachir Ochlo, Kol Makom Osir. He says, the rove of people need to eat it raw. In other words, the majority of people need to be interested in eating it raw. That sounds like, the Aruch HaShulchan sounds like a machmir over here. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to be saying that you need, that the derech is for people to eat it raw, which would then throw a question into these cranberries. Similarly, the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam says, Kloloi shel davar, hakol hoylich achar ha-mokom, mashederech lechol boysamokom. What is the derech? And cranberries are generally only eaten when they've gone through some process of cooking. And therefore, the dried cranberries is a fascinating question that the OU is makel on, even though one could argue that is it really the derech to be nechal chai. There might be other justifications, but this was a geshmaka way of crunching that shaila. Now we get to Rav Yoel's shaila. Now we get to an interesting phenomenon. Yes, Zach, go ahead.
So did we answer about why the OU says that it's okay?
No, we didn't. We didn't. You want me to read for you the terutzim that are given?
I was just curious.
Yeah, okay, here we go. That's right, both are machmir. Nachon.
But they have OU on it.
Exactly, so what's the hatstaka? Okay. What's the hatstaka? First of all, we have a heter of something that's nechal chay al yidei adchak. You have something that's nechal chay al yidei adchak. In Shulchan Aruch, we had a machlokis, and we were machmir. So certainly, this is no worse than nechal chay al yidei adchak. And you combine with the shita of the Ritva. In other words, the Ritva himself was mekel. So that is one hatstak. In other words, to be mitzdaref, nechal al yidei adchak. Another hatstaka is the following. Over here, the reason why rov people don't eat it is not because they're not interested in eating it raw. They would be interested in eating it raw. It's just it's difficult to get it at that particular time. So maybe when do we say that it's not nechal chai, that means that b'mitzius it's not nechal chai. But if rov people would be interested, and the derech would be in such a case, then one could be mekel. So those are the svaris that are mentioned. Rav Belsky had a difficult heter. Rav Belsky's heter was that you see that it's used raw in many products. So once you see that it's used raw in many products, then that's enough to be matir. Rav Schechter was not happy with that heter. And Rav Schechter claimed that the metzius is not this way, that so many people don't eat it raw. Rav Schechter said that there are many people that do eat cranberries just with sugar. So he thought, since it was relatively common, so then in such a case, it would be mutter. This, again, the Sefer Otzer Bishul Akum, quotes from a letter from Rav Schechter from Tafshin Samach Beis. That's a little bit a while ago that this was a give and take. So Rav Schechter's other heter was that since it is relatively common for people to eat cranberries with sugar, even though it's not rove, but probably combined with the other svara, it's not because they wouldn't eat it. It's just it's hard to prepare and so on. So that would still qualify as Davar Nechachai. So thank you for pushing me on that, Zach. Okay. Now, Rabosai, we have Rav Yoel's question. Everybody knows that we rely on hashgachos for pasta. And the problem is that when it comes to pasta, there the pasta is prepared first with cooking. And the question then becomes, if the pasta is prepared with cooking, why would that not be a problem of Bishul Akum? So the Teretz that Rav Luban writes, Rav Luban is one of the most important practical Rabbanim. In other words, he's in the OU day and night. By the way, he's cousins with Rav Amos. Rav Luban, he writes in his article, Playing with Fire, that all of these things, and I put them on the Maror Mekomos, parboiled rice, water chestnuts, canned potatoes, frozen french fries, latkes, tatter fries, instant potatoes, and ravioli's case, and pasta. He says all of those instances, we're relying on the Ramah. That we learned that the Ramah said that as long as the Jew has a chelek in any part, he has a chelek in any part of the bishul, the halacha is that it's considered no longer bishul akum. So therefore, since the pasta, it goes through some baking or cooking, I don't know exactly what, but it goes through something, since the latkes go through something, the frozen french fries go through some oil, it's cooked in oil before and then it's frozen, but they expect you to cook it again. It's probably not entirely fully cooked. So then in such a case, it hasn't reached the darga of mevushal called sarko. If it hasn't reached the darga of mevushal called sarko, so in such a case, then the halacha would be that it would be subject to a bishul yisrael, and that would be enough to be makil. That is Rav Luban's point. What comes out then is, I just want to point out, to be mayor, that we saw that the Chachmas Adam says that this heter of the Ramah, the heterim of the Ramah, should only be used mitoch hadochek. Kimdumani, that the minhag ha'olam is not to do that. It's not like that if you had a choice between eating frozen french fries or eating something else for supper, that you would have to choose something else that was pishul akum. So the minhag ha'olam in Ashkenaz seems to be, again, to the chagrin of Reb Shlomo Zalman that we mentioned earlier, is to be more makel. And we rely on the Ramah. The Ramah said v'anu noagim, and that's the source of the heter. Tov. So this is an important example of how the Ramah Moshita is not only in regards to the restaurant, how much does the mashkiach need to turn on, but it's even more of a question of many of these foods. Okay, let's round out today by talking about a few more foods that really bring out some of our questions. Okay, let's talk about sushi. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I understand the Metzius correctly? And that is that the word sushi is actually not a type of fish, right? Sushi is a way of preparing fish. And of course, the fish is raw. And when I first heard about sushi, I thought sushi was a type of fish. That's not correct. Sushi is a way of preparing fish. So there is a fascinating question in the poskim, whether the phenomenon of sushi has now changed the halacha of salmon. That it could very well be that salmon is definitely olah shulchan malachim, but today, since salmon is often put in sushi, and it's nechal chai, now, once upon a time, nobody ate salmon raw. But now it's a derech to eat it raw. It's common, it's popular, etc., etc. So therefore, it could very well be that here we have a case of where the halacha changed l'kula. That now there's no problem with bishul akum on salmon, because since salmon is normally eaten b'derech sushi, so then in such a case, salmon is not going to be subject to bishul akum. A fascinating application of that. What about Cheerios? So Cheerios has two questions. Amir Tzeshem will discuss after the shir whether the next topic we'll be doing will be Pasakum or we'll continue on in Kuf Yudalid. We'll discuss shortly. But when it comes to Cheerios, So leaving aside whether it's Pasachim, let's assume that's a Tavshil. So what do we say about Cheerios? Are Cheerios subject to Bishul Akum? Do you have to be Machmir on Bishul Yisro? So this gets back to the old question, where how far do you go as far as the king's eating habits are concerned? Do you take into account the king's breakfast? Or do you talk about what we eat publicly? Now, if the king is having a very important breakfast with dignitaries, he's not going to eat Cheerios. But if he's at home in his kitchen, he probably misses, from what I would imagine, probably misses his normal life, and he would love to just eat Cheerios in contrast to all those fancy stuff. He'd like to just be sitting in his robe and be reading the newspaper and not all the photographers around and so on and so forth. So therefore, you have an open question in regards to Cheerios, because it's normal for them. So, but we came out la-halacha that there's a lot of room to be makel. Even though we weren't as makel as Rav Henkin and so on and so forth, but Rav Belsky's argument is very strong from Nebuchadnezzar and others, so therefore one could argue that when it comes to Cheerios, there would be a lot of room to say that if it's a tavshil, it's not subject to Bishul Yisrael. Yes, Zach?
Just going on the salmon point, so
yes.
We go about a rove. If rove salmon is eaten within sushi, chai, so then all salmon would be mutter, or if the rove salmon is eaten cooked as salmon, and some of it is eaten within sushi.
Right, all it has to be is just that the derech is for people to eat it that way. That's all you need.
So has salmon now, like, is that what we're saying, that salmon's fully transitioned to sushi, and when you have a cooked piece of salmon is a chiddush?
No, you don't have to go so far. All you need to do is reach the place that it's normal for someone to eat it raw. Even if most salmon is still eaten cooked, as long as it's normal to eat raw, that's all you need.
Got it.
Good? Geschmack. Okay. Now, chips, and now you guys have to help me. We got to decide the ocean barrier over here. When we say chips, what are we talking about, right? Big machlokas. In Israel, when you say chips, you mean French fries. And in America, when they say chips, they mean potato chips. So, actually, on the Mari Makomos, I have to change it. I wrote chips. I should write potato chips. So this way, there is a full understanding of what we're talking about. So it comes to potato chips. So there's a tshuva from the last volume of Igros Moshe, which was printed posthumously, where Ramayshin Yoredeya Dalid, that's a giveaway that's posthumous, Dalid Memches Hey, Ramayshin has a letter to Rav Ruvain Feinstein, and he writes to his son that when it comes to chips, you have to be careful that it was cooked in oil that's kosher, and if you don't know if the oil was kosher, he tells Rav Ruvain he can't eat it. I don't know, maybe Ruvain wanted to buy them at a baseball game or something, I don't know. But Ramesha writes to him, you have to be careful. And then he writes to him, he says, if you know that it was cooked in kosher oil, you still have to be careful that it isn't Bishul Akum. Ooh, so Ramesha over here is saying that he's concerned about Bishul Akum. So a lot of people are question this psak of Ramesha, because at the end of the day, when it comes to the potato chips, is the potato chips olah shulcha melachim? So this Ramesha throws a little bit of a monkey wrench in our mahalach. The mahalach that suggested that there isn't the problem of Bishul Akum if the king eats it that way in privacy. And it's only what he would eat at a seuda that he invites others. But most of the world does not go with this tshuva of Ramosha. Most of the world goes lekula and says that potato chips is not going to be subject to Bishul Akum, but one should be aware. Now, I don't know if wise potato chips really has a mashgiach always turning it on. That would be an interesting question that we could look into. Finally, listen to this geshmak shayla, Rabosa. I never thought of the shayla. This is an interesting new take. Shawarma. Let's say you have a guy that's working at the shawarma stand. So why is shawarma different than anything else? Because listen, how does shawarma work? The way shawarma works is you have the whole, the roll that's sitting on the long pipe, which turns around and around the fire. So let's say even a Jew did it. A Jew put it down. A Jew put down the meat. No problem. He turned on the pilot light, turned on the light, he turned everything. But now, if the goy worker is the one who shaves it off, so who was mekarev it to Bishel? The goy. When he shaved off the shawarma. In other words, the first layer is not a problem. The Jew put down. But every subsequent layer, maybe it's considered as if there was a yad goy. So that, for Svardim, would be a fascinating shot. For Ashkenazim, no problem. Because it's much better than the Ramaz case of a pilot light, or something similar to a pilot light. But for Svardim, so there, in such a case, that would be a fascinating question. Would one have to be Machmir? Or do we say, the Otzer Bishul Akum is not to the Chumrah? I would say, according to Svardim, there might be a lot of room to be Makel as well. Because at the end of the day, he didn't do any Maisa Bishul. He just cut off the piece. It's like a grumma. He did the grumma. The Maisa Bishul was put on the fire. And in fact, if it would stay there forever, in other words, then the fire would eventually burn through the first layer and would have cooked the rest of it, right? It would have cooked through the rest of it, even if the Jew had left it there. So it would seem to me that, combined with the fact that it's a grumma and so on, there would be a lot of room to be makel, but that's a fascinating way to conclude these shailas, lahagdil Torah, la'adira. So, tam v'nishlam, b'siyata d'shmaya, we were zoche to learn Bishul Akum in five shiurim. We had started Simin Kuf Yudal because we wanted to discuss beer and coffee. So as far as Kuf Yudalit is concerned, it makes more sense though for us to first go to Pas Akum, because Pas Akum are shilas that are a little more common than the shilas about bars and so on and so forth. Baruch Hashem, those shilas are a little bit more common. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Simin Kuf Yud Beis, Emir Tzashem, for Thursday. And let's see, in terms of the dates of where we're up to,